This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Raymond, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning, fellas. I'm good.
Ray, we'll get into wider topics. Let's get narrow to start, I guess, a little bit. Will Edmund spy Kelce? Do you think from an X's and O's standpoint that that's the play here?
Yeah, I mean, they didn't have to worry about that the last time. So I do think that's going to be one of the bigger matchups in this game. You know, guys, it's interesting. You know, with Tyreek Hill maybe not being himself, you know, there's a chance that they could do some different things to limit Kelce. You know, they might not have to double Tyreek deep like they normally would. If you look at that Broncos game, he had, I think, one catch for 2 yards. So is he going to be healthier this week? Maybe, but, you know, that's a feel they're going to have throughout the game. So, yeah, I think Edmonds will probably draw that assignment mostly, but they're, you know, they're pretty diverse in how they cover tight ends. You know, they've put linebackers like Devin Bush and Joe Schobert on those guys as well this year. So they have some options, but, you know, I think Edmonds is the number one guy that they'll try first on Sunday.
T.J. Watt wasn't quite himself the last time these two teams played, Ray. Can he change the dynamic of this thing?
He better, because the Chiefs did pretty much whatever they wanted the last time, whether it was running or throwing. They had no answers. And, you know, Mike Tomlin talked yesterday about coming up with a better game plan. So, you know, T.J., he's a game wrecker when he is healthy, and he's never going to be 100% healthy this year, but he's looked healthier the last couple of weeks, and I'm sure they're going to do everything they can this week to just sort of, you know, get him to Sunday where, you know, he's as close to 100% as possible. Listen, guys, they need turnovers in this game. They didn't get any turnovers the last time. They coughed it up 3 times. Turnover margin is going to be huge in this game. If they can find a way to get that done, whether it's a strip sack by TJ or a pick or whatever it is, they have to do that. And obviously TJ, when he's right, when he's healthy, is a big component of whether they turn over the opponent or not.
Ray, why do you think that Minka has been better here over the second half of the season? And even in the last few games, it seems like he's made more of an impact.
Well, I mean, I just think he's been asked to do more this year, and I think the things we saw from him in 2019 and 2020, he's just not able to, you know, jump routes and, you know, do the splash play types of things that that he became known for in his first 2 years here. You know, he's been asked to take on more run defense responsibilities. You know, the plays he's making in the secondary now, you know, pass breakups rather than, you know, jumping routes and, you know, playing robber coverage or anything like that. I mean, they're just the defense is so much different this year just because, you know, of the injuries that they've had up front and, you know, some of the issues they've had there in the middle with inside linebacker. So I think he's been impactful. I think he's been really good. But when you look at it from a turnover standpoint, you know, those numbers aren't there. But I don't think that should take away from how he's played. You know, I was thinking about this. I think the All-Pro teams are going to be revealed on Friday. He's probably not going to make All-Pro this year, but you can make an argument that he's been just as good for the Steelers, just in a different role than what we're used to.
Clock on the wall says 8:05. Good time for an insurance checkup by the Buell Insurance Agency. Ray Fittipaldo on the phone with us. Ray, any update, or I guess you'll probably find out a little bit deeper today, Najee Harris's health? I don't know, something in the back of my mind, I'm pretty worried about that arm.
Yeah, you know, when he suffered that injury on the first series, and it wasn't 5 or 10 minutes later that they announced in the press box that he was probable to return. So at that point, you knew it wasn't anything like, you know, he didn't dislocate the elbow or, you know, anything like that. It was probably just one of those hyperextensions that he was going to have to come back from. I mean, those are very uncomfortable. I mean, it's your arm is never going to be the same within that same game. So he probably had to get used to it. He probably had to get a good feel for how he could contribute. I think the biggest thing is that stiff arm. And in the open field, he's probably not going to be able to use his right arm the way he usually does. So, you know, he's going to have to adapt. But the fact that he came back in that game on Sunday and contributed, and then you have, you know, 5-6 days to get ready for a Sunday night game. He'll be ready. You know, he might not be able to do some of the things he normally does, but I think he's a savvy guy. You know, it sounds strange to say about a rookie, but he's a pro, and I think he'll figure it out, and I think they'll need him because I think they're going to have to chew the clock a little bit. You know, they're going to have to take their shots, obviously, to score points. But, you know, I think Najee, whether it's in the run game or the short passing game, he's going to have to be a factor if they're going to win this game.
Have we maybe underestimated or taken for granted the way Chris Wormley has stepped in this year, Ray?
No, he's been really good, guys. You know, he's not Stephon Tuitt. You know, he's probably best suited to play in a reserve role where maybe he's playing 25-30% of the snaps, but he's been really good rushing the passer. Now, obviously, when you look at the run defense numbers, the reason they're so bad against the run is because of the injuries they've had to Alulu and to Stephon Tuitt. Those guys were among the best in the league at, you know, plugging it up inside and, you know, getting the job done there. Now, Wormley isn't that type of a player. He's not really strong at the point of attack. So that, you know, that is kind of a weakness that they've had to live with. But, you know, overall, you know, from what I was expecting, you know, early in the season when he had to step in there, I think he's been good. I think he's one of the reasons that they're still playing. They've been really, really thin on the D-line. You think back to, you know, picking up Montrevious Adams off the Saints practice squad and Henry Mondu coming up with a big fumble. I mean, they've had guys who have stepped up and taken on some snaps, and, you know, those guys aren't too in Lulu, but they've done the job, and the Steelers are still playing.
You know, Ray, we saw the and even last week where the Steelers were having trouble until late in the game when it got to be like 3rd and 8, 3rd and 7, 4th and 8, and all of a sudden they're making these plays when they had to make plays. How can they do that? And this has like been a year-long question. Is it how can they do this like in the first half? They have to make like every down is like 3rd and long. It's just it's uncanny how they can't do anything at the beginning of games, it seems.
I know. I mean, they don't convert hardly any first downs in the first half, you know. And then Ben's out there. That completion of Freiermuth on 3rd and 7 was just an awesome throw. And, you know, just he doesn't do it all game, but there are still times where you see, boy, you know, whether 5 or 6 quarterbacks in the NFL who can make that throw. And then he finds a way to complete that one to Ray too, where, you know, Campbell was in his face basically, and he had to change his arm angle to get that one in there too. So, you know, Jim, I've been a proponent of, you know, maybe going no huddle and going fast early in games just to get them off to a good start. They've resisted. They haven't done it. But if you're ever going to pull it out and you're ever going to be different, if you're ever going to want to catch someone by surprise, this is the time to do it, because you're not going to win a 19-16 or a 16-13 game against the Chiefs. You're probably going to have to score 27, 28, 30 points to get it done, and you're not going to do that the way they've been playing offense in the first half all season.
Honesty or smart press conference tactic by Mike Tomlin, who's crazy like a fox, and I love when he does stuff like this. Did he really doze off with the game, with his season on the line during Chargers and Raiders, or did he just say he dozed off so he didn't have to answer questions as to what he would do?
That's a great question. I don't know. I kind of believe him. I mean, he
work day, school day next day, right?
Yeah, I mean, a big work day. You know, he's probably putting some work in you know, when it's like, what was it, a 14-15 point lead, kind of a goofy score. He's thinking, all right, let's get some work done. We're going to get in there early and attack this thing. And then he dozes off. So good for him. I mean,
but isn't it only a work day if the game ends in not a tie?
Well, then you have to go right into the exit interviews and say we're tied. It would have been a much different work day. But, yeah, I don't know. I kind of believe him. Kind of a goofy situation overall. I know I saw a lot of these guys, including Ben, Ray McLeod, they were watching this game like 30 to 40 seconds behind everyone else, and they were kind of getting updates by phone and crazy stuff like that. So it was pretty funny to see how those guys found out.
Did you stay up, Ray, all the way?
I did stay. I dozed off like in the third quarter, but then I was up. I was like, okay, I gotta make my flight to Kansas City. I gotta do all this stuff. Where are we staying? So,
what's the most embarrassing situation Ray Fittipaldo's ever fallen asleep in? Come on, we've all fallen asleep somewhere where we're like, oh my god, I can't believe I did that.
You know what? This last trip to Kansas City, I was delayed, and I knew I had like 6 hours to kill at the airport, so I just curled up. Like in one of these little, terminals or whatever. And there was like a little 5-year-old, like three seats down. He puked. I didn't even move. I just turned over the other way, and I went back to sleep. So I don't know if that's embarrassing.
Clean up your kid's puke, lady.
No, it's embarrassing.
Ray's trying to nap.
Embarrassing for him, not for you, Ray. not good. Oh, man. Good stuff, though, Ray. I guess we're all out of stuff to talk about.
Oh, no. One legitimate personnel question. One legitimate personnel question. Today's the last day they can activate Dotson. I would presume that's going to happen, but does he play?
I don't think so. It doesn't seem, Mike didn't mention him yesterday. I know he wasn't asked about him, but usually in those situations, Mike will offer something that, he's probably going to come back. So, that ankle and what he's been dealing with has kind of been like a season-long thing. So I don't anticipate that, but I do think they might activate him just so he's on the roster, just so if they win, that they might have that option down the road. But I don't expect him to play on Sunday.
All right, Ray, two other positions.
Punter.
I was going to ask about the center and the punter.
Oh, there you go.
Who do you expect to be the center and punter, and who would you put in at center and punter?
Yeah, I mean, I think Hassenauer is going to be the choice. Mike was, he praised him yesterday, and I think they like where they are right now, even though the running game kind of went back to what it's been all season against the Ravens. So I think Hassenauer would be the center. Everyone was shocked when Corliss Waitman wasn't out there on Sunday, and could have hurt him, honestly. I mean, they kind of overcame some of the field position stuff during that Ravens game that came as a result of Harvin's short punt. So, Waitman is familiar with that atmosphere. He was just there a couple of weeks ago. I think maybe holding is part of that equation, even though Boswell was good with him too. I don't know. We're not inside practice right now. We don't get to see everything that goes on, but I got a gut feeling it's going to be Waitman, but I was surprised in Baltimore, so who knows?
All right, Ray. Ray, we appreciate it. Oh, what are you doing with your kid in his baseball season now? Now that it's freezing cold out. Do you have him training like 4 days a week inside in some bubble somewhere? Or what do you got going on?
No, we were hitting last night, and we got our first indoor practice on Sunday that I'm going to miss. But, we got our first practice on Sunday, so it'll be here before you know it, boys.
Yeah, Buttermaker getting ready. All right, thank you, Ray. We appreciate it.
All right, guys. Talk to you.
Thanks, Ray.
Bye, Ray.
Hi, Jim. How you doing?
Hi, pretty good.
Yeah? Just pretty good?
No, I'm fine.
Okay.
I'm
all good.
Everybody thinks, like, man, Tom was really all over you.
Oh, he was.
Well, did
he
you
was,
plan?
I just, he was.
Hold on, it was hilarious.
He kicked your ass yesterday.
Did you plan hilarious. To ask a non-open-ended question about him watching the end of the game?
No, I screwed
or
that.
Did you just screw
I,
up?
I screwed that one up.
Okay.
I just should have said, what would you have done?
Yeah.
That's all I should have done. I shouldn't have said, did you whatever. I asked that incorrectly, but I got a great, boom, and that's fine. I mean, everybody thinks like, man, that's embarrassing, you sit there. I think it's funny.
You didn't think it was funny at the time.
Of course I did. I laughed right after as he said it.
He did
I
laugh.
I think you can hear that.
I know you did. It is audible.
You can hear that. I might have laughed after the Ben question, too.
Jeez. Yeah, people were like, Pony played that up real big, actually.
Of course. I told those guys, this is true. I was actually, when things winded down, and I was surprised a lot of people didn't seem to have a lot of questions. And I was trying to formulate another question I could ask where I would get like a dart.
Bing.
Yeah. I couldn't really come up with anything. I kind of looked over at Bert. He's looking at me, and I'm like, yeah, okay, I won't.
Is Colony going to keep us here another
3 minutes?
Should
have asked about the LSU job. That would have been big. Been a big one. Ask about the Giants job.
Yeah.
Interested in the Giants. See, Joe Judge was fired. Would you have any interest in working in a bigger market like New York?
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
No, I'm staying away from that.
Dan and Hughes, Kansas City Radio. He joins us, Keller analyst for the Chiefs. He joins us at 8:30. That's just in like 15 minutes. Now, you know these shame bets, right? Mm-hmm. Like if you lose? I have found one. A couple people sent a couple in, and we were talking about it briefly with Matt Clement. One guy sent me one that I have found to be one of the most it's funny, but it's also kind of deplorable what they made.
Oh, I'm all on board.
What someone had to do by losing their fantasy football.
Is it going to make us cringe?
A little, maybe. But it's doable.
So.
It's doable. It's not like it's not to the point where you say I wouldn't do that to a friend.
I need to know what this is.
Like mayonnaise over your head.
Not like that. Okay. You're going to find out in just a couple minutes right here on the Fan Morning Show. And someone has a love interest. We're here to play Cupid at 8:45. We're going to do that here.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.